Radio Chaser, brought to you by Global Warming, letting you say, how hot is it today, more than ever before.
Sydney, a city of coffee, beer, wine and fear. Mainly the fear that drinking so much coffee, wine and beer was a bad idea. It's to cities what hangovers are to drinking. But we love it. So sit back and take the ultimate cure. 1 hour of pure, uncut Radio Chaser.
Yes, welcome to the program. Charles Firth, how hot is it out there?
It is so hot.
And Andrew Hansen, are you feeling hot, sir?
Oh, I'm feeling so hot. I'm feeling hotter than the usual average temperature. It's amazing.
A great thing to talk about, too. It is hot today on the show. Has your kid ever played a terrifying trick on you? Charles has had. He's going to tell us about it a bit later on. We'll hear from you if that's happened to you. And an extraordinary chance to catch up with some amazing news about Captain Cook. They've apparently found his boat, the Endeavour, his ship that he sailed across the world in, but we've been looking for it for centuries. It's been found. Scott Morrison will be a very happy man today.
Well, they may well have found the Endeavour, but, you know, that may be blowing out of the water sometime soon. But what's really blown people out of the water today is a story about Sesame Street's most popular characters, or should I say couple, Bert and Ernie. Yes, an ex-writer of Sesame Street has gone on record saying that, yes, indeedy, Bert and Ernie are a gay couple. They're not just two puppets who live together at all times.
Shocking, Andrew. This is absolutely shocking that anyone would think this is a revelation.
Unbelievable.
Haven't they been using Bert and Ernie to test gaydar devices for many, many years now?
So it wasn't already canon that they were gay. I just assumed that everyone knew that they were gay.
Well, no, because they deny it all the time, you see. The Sesame Street workshop are constantly in denial about this relationship, and they say, no, they're not. They're just, you know, two blokes who spend all their time together and have lived for decades.
That's a bit backward, you know. Isn't it? I mean, look, same-sex marriage is even legal in Australia now. Let's get with the times. They should have a wedding. A big bird could preside. It'd be a beautiful moment on Sesame Street.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Oscar the Grouch could be the ring bearer.
You know what I think has actually happened? I think this is all a complete confusion. I think it's just because after Sesame Street every day, they just put the Muppets back in the closet. And people have assumed that means that they're not gay.
They're always in the closet. Well, look, it's got everybody talking. I mean, the top three trending topics on Twitter were Bert, Ernie, and Sesame Street. Bert and Ernie got separate topics for some reason. Look, they're all talking about it. Here's what they said.
Here's what they said.
About an ex-Sesame Street writer saying Bert and Ernie are a gay couple.
The cast of Queer Eye for the straight guy.
What a surprise.
Next, they'll realise we're gay.
Frank Oz, Sesame Street spokesperson.
It's not true. Bert and Ernie are just two straight guys who like to sing in the bath together.
Scott Morrison, Pentecostal Prime Minister.
This makes my skin curl. I'm going to send Bert and Ernie to an all-boys religious school where no gay sex would ever take place.
Noddy, Pommy Puppet.
I really appreciate Bert and Ernie taking the pressure off me and Big Ears for a bit.
Miss Piggy, Muppet Icon.
I'm just glad that Muppets can now apparently have sex lives. Come on, Kermie, let's do it Froggy style.
Lockie, the Purple Wiggle.
I heard they broke up and have to awkwardly work together under contract for the next 5 years.
Donald Trump, ex-lover of Stormy Daniels.
Why is everyone so interested in the sex lives of orange people?
Ernie, recently uncloseted puppet.
Bert and I have a great relationship. The only downside is I sometimes get yellow fluff in my mouth.
That's what they said.
Radio Chaser, Triple M.
And here we are. It's all been revealed. The one thing that we've been all wondering about ever since Donald Trump came into the presidency, the question on everybody's lips, what does his knob look like? Well, what? It's out. Well, it's not out, but the description is out.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was out, though, Andrew.
Well, it has been out, so we hear quite a few times, actually. But no, look, Stormy Daniels. Now, she's the porn star who allegedly slept with Donald Trump. She's got a new book coming out, and there are some excerpts, some quotes from this book have already been published ahead of the date, and it's very exciting because we get to find out, you know, the description of the tool in question.
Well, go ahead. Spill the dirt. We're
you
all,
want to know? All
right. This is Andrew.
This is what she wrote, Charles. He knows he has an unusual penis. It has a huge mushroom head.
What?
Like a toadstool.
Oh.
She says that he's a guy with yeti pubes.
What?
And a thingo. Oh, she didn't use the word thingo. And a thingo like the mushroom character in Mario Kart.
Oh, wow.
She means Captain Toad, who's the sort of little toadstool character.
Well, that actually does work. No, because isn't it the toadstools, or is it the stars that you eat and then you get bigger? Like, what do you...
That's right. The mushroom, I think the mushroom makes you... I think you've confused the logic, but there's something in there that I don't want to think about. So
has Nintendo announced that they're now going to shut down because of the association with Donald Trump's dick?
Imagine the Japanese levels of shame. Well, anyway, look, we thought we'd better go to the source on this, and we rang up the White House. Have we got him on the line? I think we got President Trump on the line. Of course he is. He's willing to talk to anybody, even Radio Chaser.
Hello, Donald Trump, are you there?
Yes, hello. Is that Radio Chaser? I love Australia. Now you've gotten rid of Malcolm Turnbull.
Oh, thank you. So, President Trump, is the head of your penis shaped like a toadstool from Mario Kart?
Not at all. It's fake news. It's more like a mushroom than a toadstool. Not one of those little button mushrooms, okay?
But do you know what we're talking about? I mean, Mr. President, have you ever played Mario Kart?
Love Mario Kart. I really like that Bowser. He's a terrific guy who just wants to make the Mushroom Kingdom great again.
So, Mr. Trump, you've had a bit of tension with China. How are relations going?
Oh, it's going great with China. They're one of the biggest mushroom-eating nations in the world. That's why me and China get along so well.
Oh. Mr. President, it's a very respectful conversation. Mr. President, now, Stormy Daniels, she also said that your pubes were like a Yeti's. How would you respond to that?
Look, Yeti's are fictional and my pubes are not, okay? It's the head on my hair that's fictional.
Now, Stormy Daniels said that she was paid $150,000 to keep quiet about having sex with you. Is that true?
No, that is fake news, lying media. I wouldn't need to pay anybody to keep quiet about having sex with me. Nobody would admit to that in the first place.
Well, she did admit, and she said it was the least impressive sex she'd ever had.
It's very unfair. It's a lie. Melania's had much less impressive sex with me than that.
Now, so, Mr. President, does this mean your manhood is small?
It's all lies. It's a witch hunt. My manhood is as large as my hands. Very large. Right.
So
big.
What's ultimately...
They're
enormous. Famously enormous. Mr. President, all right, to sum up, what is your final message? Do you have any final words, a message that you would like to say to Stormy Daniels?
Now, come on, Stormy. Come on. If I'm going to pay you $130,000... after we had sex, couldn't you at least lie and say it was good?
Triple M, Radio Chaser.
Blunt Talk with Gary Muggs. Look out, lefties. Truth bombs are incoming.
This is Blunt Talk brought to you by Coal. Don't just burn it for electricity, burn it for fun.
Muggs doesn't like it. Muggs.
Welcome to Blunt Talk, where I don't care what you think.
Love your show, Muggsy. You're like Pauline Hanson with a confident speaking voice.
She wishes.
What do you think about pill testing at those dance parties?
Keep your kids indoors if you want to keep them safe. My daughter's never allowed out without her mother, a GPS anklet and a shotgun. She's 37 and still single for some reason.
Blunt Talk.
See, winners don't use drugs except in cycling.
But Muggsy, aren't they just silly kids?
In my day, we didn't need to pop pills to party. We just had alcohol. And, of course, cocaine, speed, lewds, LSD, bit of heroin at the Christmas party, all perfectly safe.
Muggsy. In the know.
Testing kits are illegal, so it makes sense if the drug dealers peddle them too.
Muggsy's Truth Bomb.
And we should ban testing at those testing kits so that nobody knows whether the testing kit works or not.
Blunt Talk. Common sense this common is rare.
Now I'm off for a cigarette. Sure, it'll kill me, but at least it's legal and that's all that matters.
Radio Chaser on Triple M.
I had a terrifying thing happen to me last night as
Yeah. Did you?
Yes, which is my 10-year-old suddenly fell sick. So we'd literally been playing like 10 minutes beforehand. He was in the bath and then suddenly I hear this, "Dad, I'm sick." Right. And then and I sort of go, oh, whatever, you know. And then my seven-year-old runs in and goes, Dad, you really got to see. Like, he's really sick. And he was there, and he was sort of vomiting, he was sort of spitting vomit into this bucket. His face was completely red, and I was just like immediately going, oh my God, is this meningitis? Like, meningitis has been going around.
It has, and it's deadly.
And it's deadly. It's, my wife is away, and I was just literally going, okay, how do I get to the hospital?
How do I stop my child dying on my watch?
Should I take my seven-year-old? Like, because it was so rapid, and that's the thing with meningitis, so rapid. And it was just like, oh my God. And this went on for about 10 minutes. I was getting him out of the bath. I had to drag him out of the bath. And then he turns around and goes, just tricking. Ha ha. Gotcha. Oh,
what a brat.
What a bastard.
What a little turd.
Yeah. And
he was just awful.
He was amazed. He was so amazed. And he was so delighted that he tricked me.
He would have been so pleased. I could just imagine his face.
And I was genuinely tricked. It's the first time. You know how, you know, parents always know, nah.
That's extraordinary. Because the joke would have been on him if he'd gone into the hospital because they never let you out for like 5 hours. Yeah. He would have been so bored and frustrated. Oh, you should have got along with it. Yeah. I think you're sick.
Yeah.
Emergency ward.
He's a bit of a trickster. Like, this is not the first. And, you know, and my seven-year-old had been in on it. Like, they totally had organised it.
They're conspiring against you.
Because, you know how we had that murder a couple
of... Yeah, up the road from where you and I both live.
Like, on our street, about a month ago, there was this murder. And the next night, we'd gone to bed, and then I hear this huge big crash. And this is while they were still...
Yeah, they were on the loose, weren't they?
The two murderers were on the loose.
Alleged murderers.
Alleged murderers were on the loose. And we hear this huge crash downstairs, and it's like, what the hell has gone on? And I have to go down in the dark to say, hello, and
oh,
here.
My gosh.
And it was hard. Like, my 10-year-old had rigged up a sort of string system, and he'd pulled the string... And while he was upstairs.
It's like Home Alone.
Yes.
Oh, that's genius. Okay. He's not a turd. He's actually an
evil
genius.
Pretty impressive. No, because that was really scary. My wife called me. We were on air and she said, I can hear a sound. There's cops everywhere. They said that the people are on the loose.
Yeah.
She was terrified.
Yeah.
It could have been your son.
Your son is Ashton Kutcher's pranked or whatever.
Has someone else got a supervillain living at their place pranking them? 1-3-3-5-3. Can we top? Is Charles, are you alone? Is your kid the biggest and most clever brat when it comes to pranking his poor dad?
I reckon he's the worst in Sydney. I don't think there's going to be anyone who can top my Hartley.
1-3-3-5-3. Daniel rang up with a story that was so dark. We can't actually air it because of the broadcasting code. So just, it was that, like, quite honestly, we don't want copycats doing this thing. It's just, so Charles, I think you've already been defeated.
Yeah,
we
right.
actually don't want your kid to hear it because he'll do it.
Yeah, that's right.
1-3-3-5-3 is the number. I think, Andrew, your daughter's a budding supervillain.
My daughter, she's only 1 3/4. I didn't think that she'd be capable of villain, supervillain tactics and pranks at that age. But she has recently decided it's very amusing at dinner time to pretend that she's choking to death.
Oh,
and it's not real. She goes red in the face and she goes like this. And I think it's, you know, because we reacted to her previous actual choking and she thought that was great fun. And so now every night at dinner we have to deal with this and she's only faking.
And so from a parenting perspective, presumably what you've got to do is not react to her choking.
Yes.
How does that go when you go to restaurants and she pretends to choke?
She does it all the time.
Yeah,
it's fine. And she's probably too young to understand the sort of parable of the girl who choked on the wolf. 1-3-3-5-3, Graham's on the line. Hello, Graham.
Yeah, g'day, how you going?
When did your kid play a terrifying prank on you?
My peanut of a son decided that, well, we're playing, the pitcher, bit of front yard footy, mucking around.
Mm-hmm.
I, as you do, take him out into the trees. He, unbeknown to me, had been to the butcher and got a pig's eye.
Oh, what? No.
So he's gone around going, like a peanut. Scared the shit out of me, and I go over and he's got it in his hand.
With a pig's eye?
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
How old was he?
He's 11. Oh, no, sorry, 12.
Wow. That's genius. I mean, that's brilliant. You've got a hand
very impressive. Hey, Graham, I know what you should do. Take your son immediately and enroll him in a soccer academy with that sort of faking it. He could be playing for Australia.
He plays soccer, but he's a goalkeeper, so, you know.
Oh, my eye, red card. That's fantastic.
I just love how antisocial 11 and 12-year-olds are. Like that is, it's the perfect age for pranks because they really don't think of the impact it has on you. It's just brilliant.
Go some, I love you, Dad, is a, fantastic. I'm right in it, mate. I've got a daughter just going in there as well.
And imagine being smart enough to realise that the place you get a pig's eye is the butcher's. That's very impressive.
Well, imagine being.
Yeah, good.
What's the butcher thinking, though, with an 11-year-old coming in? Yeah, I'm just doing the groceries. We're having pig's eye for dinner.
That's an excellent story. Thank you very much, Graham.
Radio Chaser, brought to you by Global Warming. Every day can be like today. Global Warming.
And look, hasn't global warming been doing a lot? Unseasonably hot weather here in Sydney, typhoons and hurricanes elsewhere. It's a great thing to talk about, global warming.
You know what I love about being sponsored by global warming?
What is it?
What's that, Charles?
All the money you get. Like, it's great. All the coal companies want to sponsor you, like all the fossil fuel industries.
Petrol.
Rolling in it. Rolling in it now. Yeah. It's good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
You're going to sell out. Do it properly. But look, I've just seen on the TV, Scott Morrison and Peter Dutton are fronting the media right now. Peter Dutton says, you know, we've got to get on top of this, got to help the farmers. He's had strawberries for lunch, which I imagine he doesn't normally do. Scott Morrison's increasing the penalties from 10 years to 15 years. I reckon the person that put the needles in didn't know it was 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it works as a disincentive. But anyway.
I've actually got a solution for the strawberry industry. I think that they should just sell every box of strawberries with a little bowl for the needles.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be really cool. That'd be quite fun then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because then you're just leading with your weakness. You're just sort of going, well, you know, part and parcel of the features of this fruit.
Yeah, genius.
You get the needles.
Well, that's right. You remove the green bit on top. You remove the needle that's inside. It's fine. It helps the farmers. Maybe this is the chance that all those weirdos on the beaches with metal detectors who've been doing their thing for years and no one appreciates, they could go into our supermarkets and solve this, couldn't they?
Finally, of some use. Yeah. Either that or the strawberry industry could just switch shops and start selling them in Lincraft instead.
That's true.
As a sewing accessory.
It would be very, very useful. But look, there is some upside in this, which is it really has led to an explosion in the world of collectibles.
Hey, kids, here's some fruit.
Oh, strawberries again, Dad.
Are your kids getting sick of the same old fruit day after day?
Try them, son. I think you'll be surprised.
Ow! Oh, what the...
Coles has its little shop collectibles, but at Woolworths, we're putting the excitement back into fruit with the new Little Sharpies range.
Ow! Hey. Wow, I got a sewing needle in my strawberry.
I got a mini syringe in my banana. It's so cute!
I'll swap you my mini sharpened nail file for your mini shiv.
Little Sharpies, collect a lot before they run out and you bleed out.
I only had the switchblade to go.
At Woolworths, the fresh blood people.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser here. Massive news for HIFT history buffs and just general Aussie patriots. Captain Cook's HMS Endeavour has apparently been found 250 years after it came down here and off the coast of America is where it's supposed to be. It's apparently in pieces, but shouldn't we haul it up and put it bang in the middle of Scott Morrison's office, the member for Cook?
Oh, wouldn't he be delighted? I mean, the only thing he cares about is reassembling Captain Cook. Where's Captain Cook's body? We need to assemble that too and put it in Morrison's office.
That'll be a bit more work, I think, Andrew, but we'll get on to that. So in honour of this amazing moment in history, some facts for you about Captain James Cook.
Fact that's amazing.
Did you know Captain Cook kept a botanist on his travels? Which is why, to this very day, every tourist takes a botanist with them on holiday.
Fact.
In fact, Cook's botanist was Joseph Banks, who was asked by the king to survey the flora and fauna down under. It was the first Banks Royal Commission.
Fact.
Sorry. Oh, very good. Sorry. Johnny. Very good.
Captain Cook arrived on boat to Australia in 1770, but was then immediately taken to Nauru for processing.
Fact.
Captain Cook packed huge barrels of sauerkraut on board to ward off scurvy. The downside was 57 sailors died from unstoppable farting.
Fact.
Yes, indeed. And after killing Captain Cook at the end of his life, the Hawaiians baked his body to remove the flesh from his bones, a tribute usually reserved for chieftains. In other words, the captain was ultimately cooked.
Fact.
There are a group of islands, this is true, off the coast of New Zealand discovered by Captain Cook, and that they're named after him. They are called the Captain Islands.
Very factual.
It's bizarre.
Captain Cook declared Australia terra nullius, and today the only part of Australia to officially remain terra nullius is Hornsby.
Fact.
Cook's trip to Australia was to observe the transit of Venus, which would not occur until she played at the Australian Open several centuries later.
Fact.
And finally, Captain Cook was really annoyed when he was appointed by the British government to explore the Pacific with a fleet of boats. In fact, it gave him the ships.
Great big fact.
I think I've got the ships.
Oh, I've got pains all over.
I think I got to cook you in a giant pot.
Cat's pajamas or cat's piss.
Now, in the Philippines, there's a video that's emerged of a serpent slithering through an airport departure lounge. Passengers jumping out of the way, apparently quite poisonous and, not the greatest. It was a black rat snake is what it was in the departure lounge. What do you think? Would that be a nice thing to spice up your travel, or is that cat's piss?
Well, I think this puts a complete lie to the quality of airport security. Like, you know, you're supposed to be all, you know, not be able to get past airport security, and it just slithers past. What about terrorists who dress up as snakes trying to get onto planes? Snakes will have snakes on planes.
Well, there's a movie about that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Well, this is a snake off a plane.
Yep.
Perhaps this is a chance for a new movie. A much less exciting sequel. Snakes not on a plane.
Snakes in an airport lounge.
Well, actually, that's not bad. Snakes in an airport lounge. I mean, I hope the snake took advantage of the facilities. Did he have club access, this snake? Was he able to...
Didn't quite get into the VIP section. Was actually, they used a pole to pin it down, then put it into a plastic bag. So I guess it got a bit of duty-free action on the way out. Yeah, not the greatest thing. All right, let's...
No, I think it's cat's... Oh, look, I mean, for me, probably cat's piss. I wouldn't fly that airline again.
Yeah, fair enough. And look, another food problem. In Virginia, a man's been accused of rubbing produce on his buttocks and putting it back on the shelf.
Well,
produce.
See, this is a more Aussie food scandal than the strawberry scandal.
Yeah,
right?
This is a bare bum food scandal.
Yeah, like if that was happening in Australia, everyone would go, he's just putting it on his bum.
Scott Morrison would reduce the penalty for that, wouldn't he?
Try to give him an Order of Australia medal. That's the most Australian thing.
He's just an NRL player, being normal.
Cat's pyjamas.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually a very good point. Compared to Mad Monday, that's literally nothing.
Radio Chaser, brought to you by Global Warming, because every day is a Sunday with Global Warming. Especially Sunday.